one of the great passages of the Bible. I'd like for you to take special note. Last week, we looked at Hebrews 11, 1 through 6, and faith. I want you to take just a minute tonight, try to block everything out of your mind, and try to think about this word faith. What does it really mean? Well, it's a confidence in something or someone. It is an assurance that something is going to happen or they're going to do something for you and you have no proof that they will. You only have their word. It's faith. You'll notice in verse 1, faith is the substance. It's something real. And this word is really sort of a scientific mindset. It's a substance. There are various substances in science. And it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is that something in your heart that you know something you're hoping for is going to come to pass. It's faith. You'll notice the next part of the verse says, the evidence. Now, this is a legal mind's facts. So it's the evidence of things not seen. So you can't see something, but you have evidence that it exists. So faith is that I can look at the starry heavens and I can see the millions of stars and I can see them not all running into each other, and I can see the sun circling around the earth, and I can see that come up and go down, and I can see the moon, and every day I can see them both and realize I have evidence that somebody put that there. I have faith that there is someone out there that can put it all together. So I have evidence, and my faith is based on the evidence, even though I can't see it, the end result. I may not be able to see how or who, but I know they're there because of evidence. You'll notice faith is both substance and evidence. It's something that you have in the Lord. By the way, verse 6, it is impossible to please the Lord unless you have a little bit of faith. Now, you notice, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. Now, notice, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let me read to you another verse, just a few chapters over in another book, and let me remind you, it says this, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Verse 6, let a man ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So without faith, it's impossible to ask the Lord for anything. I can't see the Lord, but I have substance and evidence that he exists. And I have proof that he loves me because of his word that's been around for thousands of years and not an error in it, not a contradiction in it. And so I have evidence. And yet, if I ask the Lord for something and I don't have a little bit of faith, he says, I'm not going to answer. I want you to trust me. I want you to believe in me. Now, he then gives a list of examples of people that had faith in him. And he's trying to encourage all of us to have faith like they did. But I would remind you, how much faith is required to move a mountain? Grain of mustard seed, one of the smallest seeds on earth. You can put mustard seeds in your hand and breathe through your nose and blow them out of your hand. They're so tiny. You know what the Lord is trying to say? You don't have to be a great person of faith to have God answer. It only takes a little bit of faith. And we all have a little bit of faith. But he wants us to grow that faith. So he gives us some examples. Now notice, if you would, in Roman numeral 2b, this is a completion or a continuation of last week's study. B, there are many great examples of faith that are a challenge to all of us. And you'll notice, if you would, 4, Noah, by faith, preached 120 years, and yet saw no one saved except his family. Now, let me ask this question. How much faith would it take to preach 120 years and no fruit? I can tell you from experience, I don't know how he did that. When I'm in a service and I preach and I put my heart into it and I've prayed about it and said, Lord, would you please speak to people's hearts? And no one's heart is stirred and everybody just kind of sits there. It is very, very unfaithing my heart. That's a word. It removes faith that the Lord could use you. I can't imagine to preach 120 years. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 said 120 years. He tried to get people to prepare for the rain and the flood, and they said, what's rain? What's a flood? Well, I don't know. I've never seen one, but it's coming. How do you know, Noah? Because I have faith that God is telling me the truth. Do you see? He says, look, Noah was a man of faith. And he preached, notice if you would, in verse number 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. He had never seen rain. He had never seen a flood. Can you imagine the faith that it would have taken? How many of us would have had the faith to say, I'm going to go out there and build an ark? How many of you heard about the company that's going to build an ark in Kentucky on 180 on 800 acres? How many of you heard about that? Okay. And it's going to be like a theme park, but it's going to be all about the animals and Noah and the ark and scripture. And they're expecting maybe 1 million visitors a year to come through it. They're trying to get it built. Well, it took Noah faith to go out there and build that ark that was a football field and a half long by him and his two sons. And then pause, maybe at lunch, and have people come up and say, what are you doing, Noah? I'm building an ark. What's an ark? And then, folks, I can't even imagine. What's it for, Noah? It's for floating on water, but it's in the middle of the field, Noah. I know, but it's going to rain. What's that? Notice what he said. Verse 7, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. There's a flood coming, Noah. And Noah said, okay, Lord, I believe you. What do I do? I want you to go out and build that ark. So when God tells us to be patient and wait for something, wait for a job, be patient and wait for your health, I'm going to improve it, be patient and wait for, or I want you to do this or this or this, like Abraham, I want you to move, I want you to go here. And Abraham did it by faith. Folks, faith is required in all of our lives. It's doing what you feel like the Lord wants you to do in your heart because you believe his word. And Noah said, okay, Lord, I'll build the ark. How much faith would that have taken? A whole lot more than a grain of mustard seed to me. Well, notice in the outline, preached 120 years and saw no one saved except his family. He also by faith built an ark to prepare for a great rain. And he had never seen rain. He only had God's word that it was going to rain. He also became the heir of righteousness because of his faith. Notice three things that happened in Noah's life because of his faith. Notice this, verse 7, being warned of God of things not seen, moved with fear, he prepared an ark. So the first thing he did by faith was prepare an ark. Notice the second thing he did to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world. He preached and tried to get the world to understand God is going to punish the world for all of their sin. You need to trust Christ. You need to trust the Lord and get into the ark with me. And everybody said, you're crazy, Noah. So he preached for 120 years and didn't have any converts. I would assume he won his daughter-in-laws to Christ. He's got his three sons and their wives and his wife. And I would assume those three young ladies trusted Christ in his preaching. Now, that would have been great reward. When you get on that ark and it starts raining, I would have said, Lord, 10,000 times thank you for letting me preach 120 years and only see three people saved if those three were the only saved. We don't know how they got saved. But I can tell you this, one soul every 40 years has been pretty discouraging. All of us need faith. And so he gives an example. Look at Noah. He had to have faith. Notice, if you would, verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive, should have to receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Lord, where do you want me to go? I want you to go over there, to the land of Canaan. Oh, Lord, but I've never been there. I know, but I'll take care of you. Okay, Lord. You read Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. He got up and went. He obeyed the Lord by faith and didn't know where he was going. Notice, if you would, in the outline, 5, Abraham trusted God's word in several areas of his life. A, he trusted God for the place he would live and have God's richest blessing. Notice tonight, you can dwell any place. But now listen, there is only one place where God is going to bless you to the nth degree. There's only one place where God is going to bless you richly. His richest blessing is in that one place, and it's the will of God for you. And there is one place for everybody in this room. For Abraham, it's the land of Canaan. For Dave Pittman, it's in Herndon, Virginia. For Jeremy Pittman, it's in Sorota, Uganda. For you, it's in Herndon, Virginia. It's in Sterling, Virginia. It's in Leesburg. It's in Chantilly. It's here. And so you have to pray before you ever move an inch to make sure that that's what God wants you to do. Because there is a place for your richest blessings. That does not mean you can't live where you want. It just means you won't have God's richest blessing because you're not living by faith. Faith is, Lord, I don't know necessarily why you want me here, but Lord, I'll trust you. And that's where God blesses the most. Now you'll notice, if you would, in verse 9. Now look at verse 8, the first two words. By faith, Abraham. Verse 9, by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. What does that mean? The land that God promised him. Now, if you'll notice, in verse number 9, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He really was looking for heaven. Lord, I really want to be in heaven with you. And you'll notice, if you would, in the outline, he trusted God to take him to heaven. You see, it takes faith. Anybody here ever seen heaven? Anybody here know what heaven looks like? Well, we have only God's word on the description of heaven. We have John the Apostle's description when he went to heaven and saw what heaven looked like. Sometimes the angel said, record this. The Lord said, record this. Sometimes he said, don't record that. I'm very curious as what was not recorded. I'm very curious what were in some of the books that he had to eat. I'm very curious. You know what? By faith, one of these days, I'm going to see that. I'm going to see heaven. And Abraham, the Bible says, had faith that he too would see heaven. Folks, we're just like Abraham. He hadn't seen heaven, but he has now. You know, do you remember what the rich man said in hell? Does anybody remember what he said? In hell, he lifted up his eyes and said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Abraham was in paradise. He was in heaven. By faith, he looked to the Lord and said, I'm going to trust you to take me to heaven. And the Lord said, I did. So by faith, and he gives Abraham as an example in several areas of his life. The place that he lived, the place that he wanted to live. Notice, if you would, in the outline, see, he trusted by faith that God would give him a seed without number when it seemed impossible to have any children. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 11. Through faith, Also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, let me ask you a question. Does anybody remember what Sarah did when she heard that she was going to bear a child? What did she do? She laughed. What did the Lord make her name her child? Isaac, Hebrew for laughter. Okay? So that she would always remember that she laughed when God told her. But someplace between when God told her and she laughed and the birth of her son, she had faith that God was going to answer that prayer. Notice, if you would, in the outline, she trusted that by faith that God would give a seed. This is Abraham and his wife. And it actually gives his wife first, that she would have faith. Now, it tells me you don't have to have a lot of faith because, and you don't always have to have faith because she laughed at first. But apparently, she got to thinking, you know, it would be just like the Lord to do a miracle for me. I've seen him do miracles before. I wonder if he would. And pretty soon her wonder went toward faith. And that's where all of us have to be. We all have doubts. All of us. We all have doubts about various things. But as we grow in that thing, in Christ, we begin to develop more confidence in him. That's why you need to walk close to the Lord, to strengthen your faith. That's why you need to read Scripture and study Scripture. That's why you need to pray more. Do you realize that prayer builds you? If I'm little Andrew, was it Andrew or Josiah that prayed? So Andrew gets down and his dad said, let's pray about the car. And Andrew prays and all of a sudden, click, 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 turns over to, Look what the Lord did. It doesn't take a lot of those to cause you to say, well, I'll ask him again and he'll answer that one too. So it's important that we learn to pray consistently and read consistently so that our faith is built. Now, Satan, being the master defeater and the destroyer, and he tries to destroy our faith. Why is that? Why does Satan try to destroy our faith? I've already given it to you, and I've already read it in chapter 11, so that you can't please the Lord. You see, he doesn't want you to be the joy for the Lord. He doesn't want you to encourage the heart of your Savior. He doesn't want you to bring joy to Christ. He wants you to hurt the heart of the Lord. And one of the ways we can hurt the Lord is when we don't please him. When we don't trust him, we don't have faith in him. So Satan's always looking to destroy our faith, to put the doubt in our mind. Did God really say that? Can God really answer that? Does God really love you? Is there really a God? And so our faith is pounded and pounded and pounded. And then every once in a while we say, Lord, would you please let my car start? And vroom. Now, I'll be honest with you, that's never happened to me. Every time my car goes click, 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 it's done. It never helps me out. And you know, sometimes I've even prayed about it. And maybe I don't have the faith of a child. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe I don't have that little faith as big as a grain of mustard seed. But I'm just telling you, all of us in this room, Satan's trying to destroy your faith. And he's trying to destroy, and he was trying to destroy Sarah and Abraham's faith. But apparently they had just enough. What if? And I want to encourage you tonight to have faith in the Lord. And that's what this whole chapter is all about. Do you understand? Now listen very carefully. Chapters 1 through 10 were all about doctrine. In the Old Testament, they offered sacrifices in the tabernacle, and they offered a sacrifice once a year going into the Holy of Holies, all in faith, believing that one day the perfect lamb would be offered, and then they'd no longer have to offer the sacrifice in the Holy of Holies, but it'd be done once forever. I don't know that they really understood all that. And that's what the first 10 chapters are about. It's done. Your faith has been answered. There is a Messiah that's paid all the debts of the sin of the world. And so then he gets in chapter 11 and says, you can't please the Lord without faith to believe that this is true. So you can't be saved without faith. Notice, if you would, in verse number 12, therefore sprang there even of one in him as good as dead. Abraham could no longer have children. He was as good as dead physically. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. So God gave him who was dead physically be able to have children as the stars of heaven. And he said, so his promise was true. Sarah judged him to be true in verse 11 because she judged him faithful who had promised. And then Abraham judged him faithful. And notice now, if you would, look with me in verse in D in the outline. He trusted each of God's promises that they would come true. He became a man of faith. Now, did you notice that? He became a man of faith. It doesn't mean he started out that way. And nobody in this room starts out as a great man of faith. We become that. We grow day by day, a little bit at a time. And you may say, Pastor, I don't have much faith at all. Well, that's the beginning of all of us. We have to grow and grow and begin to trust the Lord. That's why you pray and see your prayers answered from time to time that encourage your heart and you understand what things He is going to answer, what things He's not going to answer. Do you answer all of the requests of your children? The answer is no. But the older they get, they learn to be selective about what they ask for because they know you and they know what you will answer. And you know what? The more faith we have in our God that He always keeps His word. You see, He's different than us because I sometimes break my word. I don't think I intend to, but sometimes I say, I'll meet you over here at such and such and I forget. I broke my word. God never forgets. God never breaks His word. And you and I have to have faith to say, I know that about the Lord. And so our faith is strengthened. Now I want you to watch verse 13. Look what it means. These, all the people before, that would be Abel in verse 4, Enoch in verse 5, Noah in verse 7, Abraham in verse 8, Sarah in verse 11, these all died in faith. Now, what does that mean? Not having received the promises. They didn't receive all their promises in their lifetime. But notice, but having seen them afar off, the Messiah was coming. He would come. They believed in Genesis 3:15, the promise of a Messiah. They believed in Genesis 12:7, the promise of one that was coming. And notice, if you would, and were persuaded of them. Now, that's faith. When you go from I think so to I'm sure so. Now, you know what? That takes spiritual maturity. It takes spiritual growth. It takes you growing up and growing close to the Lord. When Susan tells me she's going to do something, I believe her. For two reasons. Number one, she's a woman of character. But number two, the pattern that I've seen. So I want to say, Lord, I know you. You're a great God of character. You would never lie. And number two, I've seen you work. So my faith is strengthened. So I began as a man without much faith, with almost no faith. And Lord willing, the closer that I get to the end of my life, even though I haven't seen heaven, I know it's there. And I know my Lord's going to meet me. 1 second past death. These all died in faith, not having seen the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them. That's faith. And confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. What's a stranger on the earth? This isn't my home. What's a pilgrim? This is not where I belong. I'm just traveling through here on the way to someplace special. Now, folks, that's every Christian in this room. We're all on a journey. And this is the testing ground. And if you're going to please the Lord, you're going to have faith that one second past death, I'm going to see the Lord, and let that affect the way you live. Now, let me ask you this. You think about this. If the Lord were to say, Pastor Pittman, I'm going to give you three pictures. I'm going to send them to that machine in the back. And on Wednesday night in December, I'm going to put them on that screen. I'm going to bring the screen down, and I'm going to put them on that picture, and I'm going to let you see three pictures of heaven. Bloop, 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 and that's it. And all of a sudden, Wednesday night, I'm preaching, and that screen starts coming down, and the guy in the back goes like this. I didn't do it. And the light comes on, and there's three pictures of heaven that you want to look at and say, wow. Better yet, if he let us, let me ask you this. Did Lazarus see heaven? If the Lord let us see heaven for just a glimpse, do you think you could live right the rest of your life? If he let us see hell for 5 seconds, do you think we could be burdened about those without Christ until the Lord called us home? The Lord says, you need faith to please me. You have to have faith to see hell and to see heaven. You have to have faith to see me on the cross and in heaven, preparing a home for you. You have to have faith. Because if you don't, it won't affect the way you live. Now look, if you would, in verse number 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. They'll tell you right out, I'm not here on this earth. This is not my final home. I'm looking for heaven. Now, notice if you would, in verse number 15, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But look at verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Here's another passage. It says, the Lord has prepared for you a city. He prepared for them a city. And by faith, Abraham. And then he goes and says, look, let me give you an example. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried. Now, to me, this is the greatest test, perhaps the greatest test in the Bible. He had no child. At 100, God gives him a son. When his son is still a young man, he says, I want you to sacrifice him to me. And yet God said, I'm going to keep my promise that your children are going to be as the stars of heaven. Okay, Lord, if I kill him, how's that going to happen? So by faith, Abraham, and you read the passage in Genesis, we're going to come to it in the near future in our study on Genesis. He does not hesitate. He does not ask a question. He loads up the animal. He gets the fire. He gets the wood. He gets his son and said, let's go to the mountain. We're going to worship together. So you'll notice it says in verse 17, by faith Abram, when he was tried. Now watch this. It was a trial. And all of us in this room have trials. Now notice, offered up Isaac. Did you notice this is past tense, aorist. He actually did it. He actually offered up his son. You know where? In here. By faith, he said, I'll go and slay my son just like God said and watch him work. Now look in verse number 17. He says, he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, all past tense, like it actually happened. And we know it didn't actually happen, but it happened in his heart. He already made up his mind. He was going to go through with it, and he was going to offer up his son, and it was like it was a done deal in his own heart. Because notice why. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. He offered up the actual son that was going to produce the children that was the stars of the heavens and the earth. He actually offered up his own son in his heart, and knowing that was the only seed that God was going to use to multiply into the stars of the heavens. How? How did he do that? Look in verse number 19. Accounting. I like this. This is an accounting term, literally that says marking it down. Putting it to an account. It is marked down as done. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead. From whence also he received him in a figure. Do you see that Abraham had faith, and it went from, Abraham, I need you to go into another country. Abraham packed up his stuff and said, okay. Now that was no test compared to, Abraham, offer up your only son. Do you see Abraham grew in his faith? And so he gives us this example. He said, that's the way I want all of you to be. Because one day I may try your love for me. Will you give me, and he fills in the blank. Will you give me your job? Will you give me your wife? Will you give me your sons? Will you give me your daughter? Will you give me your heart? Will you give me your place that you live? Will you give me your money? Will you? And he will reach down and touch the thing that means the most to us, not because he wants to keep it, but he doesn't want us to keep it. He wants to be in first place. He wants us to trust him by faith. I used to have a lot of faith in doctors. When Susan lost her eyesight 20 years ago, and we went to a doctor right down here in Fairfax, and I looked at all of the preparation and the different schools and different studies that he had. And he worked on her eyes, I don't know, 6, 8, 10 times. And all of a sudden, we went back into the room after he did the final surgery. And I'll never forget her looking up at the eye chart and saying, what do you see? And she said, wow, that's a biggie. Boy, I tell you, I was so thrilled. I thanked the Lord, but I also thanked the doctor. Well, over a period of time, the doctors began to make mistakes, and it began to see, wow, it's not them at all. If it's going to get done, it's going to have to be the Lord to do it. So my faith has gone from this simple faith in a doctor that he'd do a good job to, Lord, you use whatever means you want. I'm going to trust you, not them. So faith has grown. And I realize that I can do nothing to keep her. But I can do everything through faith to say, Lord, she's all yours, but I sure would like to keep her for a while. By faith, my faith has grown. When I didn't realize that I needed faith, the younger we were, we didn't have issues like that. And so faith was not really required too much. It didn't seem like. Not like it is today. And so the tests have gotten bigger. But our faith has gotten bigger. And you know what? That's what God wants from all of us. He wants all of our faith to grow. And he wrote a whole chapter in the Bible and said, by faith, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abram, Sarah. And he gives us all these examples because he's trying to encourage you to have a great faith. Because these were all people. And he's trying to get us to understand, Sarah wasn't a great person of faith. She laughed when God said, you're going to have a child. And God made her name that son Laughter for the rest of her life. She saw her son and said, I remember having no faith. I remember when I laughed. Hey, Isaac, Laughter, I remember, Lord. At least none of us have had to have a memory like that for the rest of our lives. We see our lack of faith. And every time we call a child's name, we remember our lack of faith. You see, notice if you would in the outline, see, by faith, Abram met God's expectation when he was tried. He was willing to sacrifice his only son to obey God's command. He, by faith, fully expected God to raise Isaac from the dead if necessary. Now, notice if you would, very quickly in verses 20 through 22, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob, Isaac blessed Jacob, verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons Joseph, verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, each one of these, now notice in the outline, gave direction to their families concerning the future based upon God's promises. Each one of them had faith in what God told them he was going to do with their families in the future. And because they were the patriarchs of their families, they had the most faith. And when they said, near death, you put my bones and take them up when you leave Egypt, it took 400 years for that to happen. By faith, Joseph spoke. And so he's trying to encourage us. Now notice, if you would, quickly in verse 23, by faith, Moses. When he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. So notice if you were in the outline, 7, by faith Moses did what was right and was used of God. A, his parents exercised faith that God would take care of their infant son when they placed him in the Nile River. I have seen the Nile River. I've driven over it several times going to see Jeremy and Mandy. And I can be honest with you. I've seen a crocodile that sits out there on a little island sunning. I would not want my son in a little boat floating down the Nile River. I could almost rather not picture him in a crocodile's mouth. By faith, they put him in a little ark of bulrushes and pushed him into the Nile. Lord, you take care of it. You see, they had no idea that she was going to be able to be paid to nanny her own son. But her faith allowed that to happen. And all I'm trying to get us to understand today is, in your lives, there's some area that faith is needed for you to please the Lord. Faith for your husband to do right. Faith for your wife to do right. Faith for your children to do right. Faith for your job. Faith for your finances. Faith for your health. Faith for fill in the blank. And it's important that you and I learn to say, Lord, I don't know how, but I know you. And I'm going to trust you. Notice, if you would, very quickly, B in the outline. Moses used his faith in God to choose the Israelites and not the riches and fame of Egypt. Notice C, Moses chose not to enjoy a little sin. Instead, chose the promised reward. Look in verse number 24. By faith, Moses, when he has come to year, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. A choice by faith. Look in verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Do you realize Egypt was the richest country on earth? Egypt was America in their day. The Egyptians were the Americans in their day. They were rich compared to the rest of the world. And Moses said, I'd rather not be Egyptian, I'd rather be Israelite. And they were slaves by faith. And notice, if you would, see, Moses chose not to enjoy and chose the promised reward of righteousness over the wealth of Egypt. Misspelling there. But notice D, he forsook Egypt and trusted God to provide for him. Now notice E, he led Israel by faith. He led Israel by faith, and we must have faith to please God and be like the great Christians before us. If you were to notice that Moses, the night before they stepped into the river, the sea, to cross over, if you remember what happened the night before, the people said, "We're going to go back to Egypt. Why did you bring us all this way to see us killed?" As the Egyptians surrounded them and God kept them away at night. And Moses had to have enough faith to say, "Lord, what do I do?" And the Lord said, "In the morning, you take your rod. Why stand you here? March." And he takes his rod and the sea separates. Now, it even says, notice this, and this is amazing to me. Notice this in verse number 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea by dry land. What the Egyptians are saying to do were drown. By faith the Israelites passed through the Red Sea? You're telling me the Israelites had faith the night before they were running Moses down? The Lord considers faith to be a simple thing. You can have it one night and not the next, but you can't please the Lord if you have it one night and not the next. He wants you to have faith daily, and daily it grows. Is your faith growing tonight? It's a choice we all have to make. Lord, I'm going to trust you more today than I did yesterday. Let's bow for a word of prayer. By faith, we all need faith in everything that we do. We have a word of prayer tonight. Ask the pianist to come and just play a verse of invitation hymn. If you say, "Pastor, I've never trusted Christ by faith," come to me tonight. And let us help you get it settled, that you can have faith that heaven can be yours. And maybe you're here tonight and you say, "Pastor, I've trusted Christ by faith, but I don't walk by faith very well." Why don't you come tonight and say, "Lord, strengthen my faith.